The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
In a world where there are tons of perfectly acceptable sources of entertainment, one podcast has the balls.
Dave, you got anything good to say about this?
No!
To watch the worst of the worst.
Like, I don't like the movie, but I get to watch him fucking suffer.
And to tell you all about them.
I was trying to come up with something interesting to say, and I completely failed.
Beer will be drunk.
You keep asking him questions. He's literally reading the bottle.
Reading the bottle.
Bad words will be said.
That fuck doesn't go there.
Pete.
I hate all of you.
Dave.
Oh my god, you're all fucking exhausting.
Troy. And Kathleen.
I enjoy Dave at this level of drunk.
They bring you the Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Folks, welcome to episode number 28 of Good Beer Bad Movie Night. This is the this is the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable.
Plus beets.
Plus beet poops.
Don't tell me that some of you haven't freaked out over after a beet poop.
Beet poop, Guinness poop. It's all beet poop, it's all scary Guinness the first poops. Time it happens to you.
Asparagus peas.
Asparagus
you eat beets and asparagus at the same time.
Except Kathleen. She doesn't get the asparagus peas.
I don't have that asparagus thing.
Tonight's Feaser presentation.
Oh, Lister, can you tell that none of us want to talk about this movie? I'm letting the boys just free on about
pretty
pee
sure
and poo and
the
not saying anything.
Tangents are going to run wild in this. Tonight's Feaser presentation, God help us all, was selected by you, the listeners. Thanks
Again,
for nothing, listener.
I don't listener. Think that you can have the level of rage that you have about this.
Yes, I can. I may not be able to direct it toward any one person or any group of people, but I can feel the rage because I watched the movie.
Right, but you picked the movie.
I didn't pick the movie.
You
typed the
people
name into
the poll.
The
movie.
People picked the movie.
But you made it a choice.
Based upon the criteria of good beers and bad movies.
Right, well, but there
in
are,
that case,
there
you
are
did
there
win.
Are plenty of famous people in this, and it was a box office bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful.
Yeah, what? I know. I watched it.
Have we said the name of this
no,
movie?
No, we haven't yet.
No.
Okay, just
it's the Avengers. We're watching the Avengers.
Really angry about
not
this.
The good one.
Not the good one. The 1998 Uma Thurman and who's the other
Ray
dumbass
Fiennes.
In it? Thank
Ray
you.
Ray Fiennes.
And Sean Connery. Oh.
And Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard is in it with one line.
I know. I was
oh,
so mad
for fuck's
about
sake.
That.
Oh, this movie.
Jim Broadbent and
yeah.
so on.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So Dave has generously volunteered to take the reins of the six-minute synopsis, or we told him he had to because he picked this movie anyway.
I didn't pick the
I know. Right, right. It was on the list.
We love you, Dave.
I didn't pick the movie. I didn't pick it.
He's going to do the six-minute synopsis where he's going to take 6 minutes to summarize the movie, and we'll take a quick break. I have a super special, exciting surprise for the beers tonight. I'm really excited about it. So even if this is a shite movie, the beers, yes, I'm excited. So very excited.
I have something else to add to the end, too.
Okay, very good.
I brought something special.
So we're going to take a quick break and drink beers. And we're going to go back and maybe talk about the movie. I don't know. We might not talk about the movie. Finally, we're going to wrap up with the six-pack rating where we let you know how drunk. That you're going to have to be to watch this film, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a whole lot.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Maddie.
Do you like horror movies?
I sure do.
Well, did you know that most horror movies are inspired by real-life horror?
Really? Like what?
Well, take The Shining, for instance. That's based on Stephen King's real-life addictions, or The Purge, which could be our country any minute now.
Oh, and The Strangers, which is based on a real-life murder. People should be talking about these things.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, Producer Michael.
Oh, well, I hate to break it to you, but somebody already is. It's you.
That's right. We are Frygay the 13th, the podcast where we talk about horror in real life and horror in media, all from an LGBTQ perspective.
Because we gay, y'all.
We are proud members of the Legion Podcast Network, and we can be found on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Come along with us on this crazy journey, and as always,
get slayed.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, I should say. I know we do this once a month, but we kind of front-ended a few episodes, and it's been quite a while since I've actually seen any of you. So,
hello.
Yay!
Hello.
Dave, how's it going, man?
It was okay until I had to watch this movie.
I know.
But apart from that, yeah, great.
But you've done a lot of cool things here recently.
Yes. I went on vacation to Hawaii. It was awesome. Highly recommend it if you can make it out there.
Oh, I've heard it's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Unlike a lot of the beaches that I've been to on the East Coast, you won't find like dirty diapers buried in the sand or like floating around with...
Oh, people are terrible.
That's like, East Coast beaches.
Yeah. All brown and brown.
Yeah. I will say that the Gulf Coast, they don't do that either. That's literally from one side of Florida to the other. It's like for that 2 hours it takes to cross the state, they figure out how to take care of the beach.
Oh, that the person speaking right now is Kathleen, of course.
Hello.
It's so good to see you.
It's nice to see
and
you.
And on her left, because everybody needs to know directions
right.
as
That's
far
right.
as the podcast is concerned.
No, left.
So to Kathleen's left, now that I got that right. Hey, Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How's your summer?
It's been great. It's going too fast. I'm not ready for summer to be over.
Yeah, I know. Me either.
It's been a good, it's like we have nothing major going on. But, like, it's all just been good things.
Oh, yeah. I'm on board with that. It started in early June for me with the studio recital and then Monster Bash, G-Fest, vacation. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. The June and July are always a big
Yeah, Pete, your summer's been
cluster.
Nuts.
But it's always this way.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's always this way. And whatever.
Poor you.
It's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. I know. But... Where's the violin? Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we spent a week in Traverse City and it was awesome. So we had a really good time up there.
With family and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Troy's mom, Summer's there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It's better than summering in Florida, for
heaven's
sakes.
Right, right.
You go
no offense,
north.
Florida, but summer in Florida is a
they know
kick in the dick.
Yeah. So, yeah, but we went to a whole bunch of different breweries up there.
Cool.
And, yep.
There's a glut.
There are. There are a ton. And apparently we just found out from another friend of ours that there's a lot of very good bourbon coming out of the Traverse City area.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Our friend.
Traverse City Whiskey Company. Apparently the bourbon proof. Bourbon, something.
I don't know.
Barrel-aged bourbon. So they age bourbon in bourbon barrels?
Yeah. Yeah, something.
It's better than another kind of barrel.
Barrel was in the name, mm-hmm. and then there was bourbon in the name, and it's Traverse City Whiskey Company,
so
and it's supposed to be really, 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 really
bourbon,
really
bourbon,
good.
Barrel, bourbon, yeah. Whiskey Company.
Troy and brown liquor don't agree, no. So he sort of doesn't pay attention when people start talking about it. I don't know. Be something to like look into if we go back.
Hey, Dave.
What?
Do you want to get this over with?
No, you ready for your?
Because I really want a beer. I'm out of beer, damn it! And I really want
to get beer. Let me fucking do this. All right. The Avengers, 1998.
You've got your clacks on, clacks off.
Somebody time me. It may be less than 6 minutes.
Actually, I think
instead of doing it as a timer for 6 minutes, should I do it as a stopwatch and see how long it actually takes?
I kind of love that.
No, set it for 6 minutes because at 6 minutes exactly, I don't care how much I have left, I'm stopping.
Okay. Ready?
Give me a 1 minute warning and I might just, you know, whatever.
Okay. Ready? Go.
Okay. We open on Ralph Fiennes as Agent John Steed. Wearing a finely cut suit, bowler hat, and umbrella, he walks down the street beating up random assailants in what's revealed to be some kind of stupid training exercise. Cut, confusingly, to a super hot Uma Thurman as Dr. Emma Peel in her apartment, some kind of meteorologist or climatologist or something, walking around in a Chinese wedding dress for some reason, who receives a phone call telling her to meet Naked John Steen at Boodles, which is a no women's allowed gentleman's club. They exchange some strained and plausible conversation discussing how she doesn't follow the rules or something. I don't know. So the two piss off to the ministry, which is where John Steed works. He is an agent of the ministry, to meet a man named Mother, who informs them that a weather control project called Prospero, which Peel apparently ran, was sabotaged. A surveillance video reveals the saboteur as Emma Peel herself. Instead of immediately arresting Dr. Peel on the spot, the ministry insanely decides to send her with Agent Steed to investigate the sabotage. As they believe, a mysterious woman named Father appears and speaks to the man named Mother. They discuss how Peel may have had a motive to the sabotage and is the key to uncovering the mystery. But she was on the video. Whatever. Okay. Cut abruptly to Peel and Steed fencing in a tailor shop somewhere, probably Savile Row. They establish Peel as a skilled fencer and a brilliant scientist. Who cares? I don't care. Do you care?
No.
They go off to visit Sir August De Winter, for some reason, played by Sean Connery. De Winter is playing a huge pipe organ with a portrait of what looks like Dr. Peel hanging overhead. This, of course, explains nothing. De Winter is instantly attracted to Peel from a shared interest in meteorology, and also because Peel is now wearing a sexy red tunic dress and red knee-high leather boots. Or it's And Uma Thurman looks awesome in this whole movie.
Indeed.
Meanwhile, while Uma Thurman and De Winter are talking about cupcakes or whatever, Steed's wandering about De Winter's grounds. He happens across a ringing red call box and seeks shelter in said call box as the weather outside starts going bonkers, raining and snowing. He's then attacked by an exact clone of Dr. Peel, revealing that there is indeed two hot Uma Thurmans walking around. She shoots him in the chest, and for a brief moment, we could be spared the rest of the movie. Alas, Steed awakes in Peel's house, where they exchange horribly written, pointless, over-enunciated dialogue. They follow a clue leading them to Wonderland Weather, a company that sells weather. Somewhere inside Wonderland Weather, De Winter, dressed as a teddy bear, has a conference with some other assholes dressed as teddy bears, all of whom are evidently involved in De Winter's plot. He murders two of the teddy bears. The bodies are discovered. There's some kind of nutty pursuit, and Emma Peel and Steed are attacked by the Emma Peel clone. Through some dumb leaps in logic with no clues, they determine Father, the woman named Father, is working with De Winter. Cut to Father and De Winter playing croquet together, confirming they're in cahoots. The woman named Father expresses concern that Peel is getting too close to this plot, which we still have yet to know what the hell is going on. De Winter assures Father that he'll take care of Peel, which apparently involves sending a dozen flying B-shaped machine gun drones controlled by Eddie Izzard. A stupid chase ensues, and they're bailed out by a nice old lady with a Thompson submachine gun. The lady is revealed to be Alice, an agent of the ministry. And despite all of that nonsense with the chasing and the bees and the drones, Emma Peel is still captured and brainwashed, drugged, and she by De Winter. She manages to escape his house in such a stupid way that I'm not even going to describe it here. Steed finds her in... You know what? Fuck this. Like, even... Even if I give a detailed step-by-step synopsis, this would still be as insane as if somebody just grabbed a fistful of Scrabble tiles and threw it at a fucking 10-foot piece of shit.
You have 2 minutes.
Okay. So we've established there's a good Peel and a bad Peel. So good Peel is captured by Father and bad Peel. And then for some reason, they try to escape in a hot air balloon. Good Peel escapes by jumping out of the hot air balloon, and the balloon explodes. I'd explain why, but it won't help.
Right.
At some point, De Winter appears dressed in full formal Scottish attire in front of a bunch of Fortin dignitaries and reveals the plot he and the other teddy bears had eventually hatched earlier, which we now see involves threatening to do weather sorcery to destroy the earth unless they give him $1 billion or something. Oh, you know what? Whatever. Okay, so Steed and Peel go to De Winter's secret hideout, which the Prospero weather controlling machine is located. Peel disables the machine while Steed kills De Winter, who then is inexplicably lifted hundreds of feet of skyward by a lightning bolt. Steed and Peel both escape the secret hideout, self-destructs, London is saved, they drink champagne, Uma Thurman, Sean Connery, and Ralph Fiennes sheepishly collect their paychecks, and hope nobody remembers this utter shit show of a movie. But we will remember, won't we? No one ever forgets the first time someone takes a giant dump right into your eyeballs. And
you had 57 seconds left.
I don't think that could have gone any better. the anger and visceral in
so
your
much
voice
rage.
Was perfect. Because I felt all those emotions, sir.
Oh, yeah. It's completely terrible.
Does it feel a little better to get it out?
A little, actually. But I mean, I will tell you this. While I was watching it yesterday, because I do try to watch it just before we record, Donna is like starting to talk over the movie. I'm like, Donna, stop. If you talk over this, I have to pause it and rewind it. And this goes on longer. That's so just happened. Please just stop. Let me get this over with.
And every moment I'm watching this is a year.
Did you say something about beer?
Let's beer.
Get beer. Yes, beer. Please.
Let's do the beer.
Okay.
Any objections? No? Very good. We'll be right back.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we're back. Here we go.
All right.
I'm hiding this.
Wait, do you open? Okay.
I know it's your job, but it's mine today.
Okay.
Just this first one.
Yeah, after the 6 minute synopsis, I don't want any more responsibility.
So I only have.
Dave has retired from responsibility.
Just for the next few minutes.
I have three different. Thank you. I have three different beers.
So much mystery.
But I only have one of each. So if y'all need a maintenance beer, we can do that. Okay.
Yeah, this is a.
Here's the big reveal.
Very yellow.
Ooh. This is called Paradise Pilsner by Kaiju Beer.
Woohoo.
Oh.
This is from Australia.
Oh.
Hey.
Our buddies, our sister cast, Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Australia, smuggled some into the States.
And, good on you, mates.
And
don't do that again.
I will.
Right. Sorry. Right. And got it to me somehow.
off mic, I want to hear that story.
We will. I'm sure there isn't anybody listening, but you technically, folks, you're not allowed to ship beer via USPS or FedEx. That is not a legal thing.
Okay.
Okay.
However,
so that's not what happened.
That's not what happened because we had a rendezvous.
Ooh. A beer rendezvous.
Not really. Okay. It got to me. That's all that matters.
It's all that matters.
Dude. That's all that matters. Here it is.
Okay, so tell us all about it.
Oh, it smells like pineapple, and it looks like pineapple juice.
Right. The can is gorgeous. Oh, I found out that Kaiju Beer's artist is from Ohio, and I haven't looked him up yet. The artwork is just amazing.
Oh, this is so good.
Is it? I have not yet had them. So Paradise Pilsner is 4.7 ABV. And the tagline is, this, of course, is no regular Pilsner.
Yeah.
It's a Kaiju Pilsner. There is plenty of the spicy earthiness you'd expect from the Euros, along with a good helping of New World hops.
Mm.
That is the description on kaijubeer.com. So I'm really excited. Here I go.
It smells really good.
Oh, that's a lovely Pilsner.
It
okay,
is.
So Pilsners, that's an old world German, came from the, I'm going to get this wrong, the area of Pilsen. So a Pilsner is a lagered beer. So it is bottom fermented over a long period of time at colder temperatures, usually made in the winter for a refreshing summer drink. Mm. Whereas ales are typically fermented in the summer to be consumed in the wintertime because they're usually beefier and have more malty and all that good stuff. So Pilsners are, when I say lager, lagers are very simple flavored drinks. And that is not poo-pooing them at all whatsoever.
No.
That just means that the difference between an ale and a Pilsner in a very general sense is that a Pilsner is like a pine forest. It's simple. You know exactly what you're getting into. You can travel hundreds of yards in the same direction in a pine forest, and you're going to get the same thing all the way through. Versus an ale, where you're walking through a jungle, and every step can be different. Every step can have a different sound, a different smell, a different fragrance, anything. So Pilsners should, by style, have a very simple, straightforward flavor. There's nothing complicated about them. But they're also very difficult to do because they're so simplistic. There isn't a lot of flavor there to hide any sort
of... There's not really room for error.
Exactly. So when you do a Pilsner well, that's high praise for your brewery. And in fact, this is
a magnificent Pilsner.
This is lovely. Really
good. Thoroughly enjoying this.
It's got a little bite to it, aftertaste.
There's a little noble hops in it, and the old world recipes of German and Bavaria will have probably, I don't know the recipe of this, so I'm gonna guess it's a northern brewer or maybe it's a super fuggle, like lots of fuggle or nugget hops. I'm just guessing.
Those fuggle nuggets.
Fuggle nuggets. Well, that's funny. Anyway, this is marvelous. Thank you, Ruben.
Yes,
as our mule.
Seriously, this is
delightful.
Yeah, it's got a great. I mean, I don't want to say it's like a tropical fruit. It's the nose is really tropical fruity, and maybe it's just because I know it's from Australia, so it's like
stop.
I just said Australia.
You didn't.
So this beer was abused. I mean, it was purchased in Australia. It was flown over here in somebody's suitcase, and I acquired it a certain way. It's been
shook up
and dropped probably and run through whatever it is.
X-rayed.
maybe. but it survived. If this is what it tastes like after it's been kicked around, after the can's been kicked, it can only get better if it's fresh. So we need to make a trip down to Australia, folks.
Yeah, that's...
It'll only take us 20 hours to get down there, right?
Boy.
On a plane.
Yeah. But no, it's light and crisp and flavorful and...
Yeah.
It's everything a pilsner should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get any of the grass that you often taste in hoppy? No. So it does have that, like, an aftertaste. It's got a little bit of a...
Yeah, but it's grassy, not that...
But it's not a bad one. I'm totally enjoying it.
Yeah. It's real... The finish is really sharp and tingly. Mm-hmm. And so I think that negates that mowed grass taste.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, this is reading it. This is 4.7% alcohol by volume. No IBU statement. And I couldn't find one online.
Yeah.
So
you usually don't see those listed in a lager.
Yeah.
But, or a pilsner, I mean.
Well, this is...
Same diff, but...
The genus is lager.
Right.
Sub-genuses or whatever. I forget how that works. Dave could tell me.
So pilsners are a subset of lager.
Correct.
Right.
It is part of the... it's under the umbrella of lager.
Right.
This is wonderful.
Are the other two similarly acquired?
It's all a surprise here, folks. Maybe they are, maybe they are.
Someone's feeling fancy pants today.
A little bit. I'm genuinely thrilled that...
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Were you able to return the favor?
We will.
Oh.
Somehow we will.
I didn't know if in your rendezvous, if you had something to trade.
No. We will figure something out. We will reciprocate the effort for sure to our sister podcast, Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Australia.
Yes. Ooch. Thank you.
That was very enjoyable.
Mm. Excellent. So do we want to drink another beer? Because I don't want to talk about this movie.
I was going
to
say, I already opened up my maintenance.
Oh, hell.
Well, I will say that
please start, because I
stayed awake for the whole movie, but I stopped paying attention and was shopping on Amazon Prime. I missed a good portion of, like, really what was happening.
I'm not sure you missed anything.
Well, no, but I mean, I can't accurately report.
You know what? I watched the whole thing. I don't think I can report on this movie either. Huh. It's like there's a thing that happens and then something else happens, and the Joel Schumacher Batmans. That's what this reminds me of. Just like
Uma Thurman was in that too.
Like bullshit.
Uma Thurman was in that too. Uma
Thurman was in Batman Robin.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
Was that Batman Forever? Or Batman Robin.
That was Batman Robin.
I tried to forget them.
Yeah.
And but there's like the guys in the giant teddy bear costume.
What the fuck was that all about?
As soon as it came on, I was like, "Ooh, it's Grateful Dead bears."
Yeah, I think it's like, are those Jerry bears? Okay, now, like, before we go much further, like, has anybody here actually seen the 1960s series, The Avengers? Like,
nope.
I've seen a few episodes, yes.
Okay. All right, so you have some context.
Little, but yes.
All right. So I've never seen an entire episode. I just knew that there was a show called The Avengers, and it was very...
Right.
They had, like, fashion icons in it, like, and they had two Bond girls in it. Like,
yes.
I think the very first one, I mean, I did look it up, like, Kathy Gale, who's played by Honor Blackman.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Pussy Galore.
Yes.
Who eventually played Pussy Galore. And then when she left the show, she was replaced by Diana Rigg, who plays Emma Peel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Diana Rigg is a Bond girl. I think she was in Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes, she was the wife, the woman that got married to George Lazenby.
Yes, which is not my favorite Bond movie. But and then later, there was a third one. I'm not...
Well, in the original series, I can't remember his name now. The lead man,
the guy who plays John Steed.
John Steed in the TV show was also, I think he was, no? Oh, I'm getting all mixed up now. I forget now. Never mind.
But anyway, I wanted to know if anybody had actually watched the show.
Does it have a similar feel? Like, is there goofiness in that show?
Very much so. The few episodes I've seen were very, feministic is not the word I'm looking for. They were very empowering. Because the female protagonist was strong and cocky because she was good. She was very, very good at her job. Now, there were a few episodes that I've seen that were like, oh, so she's really awesome and she can kick anybody's ass, but she's also tied up on that railroad track over there. Well, you're right. Talking out of both sides of your mouth here. But it was the 60s, and I think these shows were iconic for women's lib to a certain degree. It was very empowering to see an equal to the male protagonist. They didn't
right,
when they fought
be
when they duel their opening duel their fencing duel that happened in an early episode with Emma Peel, and she won in the TV show much like she did in the film. So I would say it was iconic. It was very different for the time. Did very well in the United States. And I think it went for 9 seasons. So that was almost unheard of.
But I didn't know if it had...
In the 60s.
Because like the other piece of shit, 1990s TV remake, Wild Wild West.
Oh, God.
Where the TV show had all these like weird technology things that were like... I can't remember if they were like steampunk. I just remember being like, this is a weird Western.
It was a precursor to steampunk, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it was like a Western that had these crazy, outlandish, out there things that happened.
Science fiction Western.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And so, like, I didn't know if this was similar, where it just had a weird feel, because this thing had a just odd all the way through. And so they had odd bits and pieces in the script or the story, and yet the characters were so dead flat because they were trying to be very British and very staid and proper and everything. But it was like just...
They just had zero fucking chemistry.
Zero chemistry.
That's what it boils down to. And like, I haven't seen Kill Bill, and I know that Uma Thurman gets like, everyone's like, oh my God, Kill Bill is the greatest movie, and she's like the star of that or whatever. But what's another amazing movie that she's a lead in?
Pulp Fiction was also...
She's not a lead in that movie. There's no real lead in that movie.
No, I mean,
she carries
Dangerous Liaisons?
No, she's not a lead
in that either.
But she's topless.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I pulled up her IMDb page hoping to be able to be proved wrong. And it's like...
Was she in Charlie's Angels?
Oh, she was in The Truth About Cats and Dogs.
Yeah, that movie's terrible.
Yeah.
Eek.
And Jeanine Garofalo.
Technically, Jeanine Garofalo is the lead in that.
I don't know.
It's her story.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff. But I don't think she has carry the movie power.
Gattaca?
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, she's she's got top billing up there
with
Ethan Hawke. And yeah.
Wow, I haven't seen that one.
I like that movie.
I don't know.
I do too.
She's terrible.
But
she's terrible. She is terrible in this movie. The other actors that are in this movie that are also terrible are not terrible actors. Ralph Fiennes is not a terrible actor.
He's marvelous.
He's fantastic. Jim Broadhurst is not a terrible actor. He's amazing. As soon as we were watching it, I was like, oh, it's Voldemort. Mm-hmm. And Slughorn.
Yeah.
And Aunt Petunia.
Yeah.
Damn, they got all the kind of baddies in this movie.
All three of whom are excellent actors.
Yes.
Uma Thurman is one of those actors who is as good as her direction, and the direction of this movie was shit. It was complete ass.
Maybe.
I actually looked it up. Jeremiah Chechik. I don't think he directed a high-profile feature-length film ever since.
Well, he didn't really do this one either.
Yuck. And this movie had budget.
This movie had a big budget.
Yeah.
60 million. I think they got, what, like 40 something?
Mm. Well, and I started, like what I started to say before, I stopped paying attention in the movie. And then I just started making, like, basically a pros and cons list. Like, I was like, what do I like about this movie? Because I was like, what the fuck am I going to say other than this movie sucks? I hate this movie. I definitely think they only gave Eddie Izzard one line and it was put in ADR afterwards anyway because he's too fucking charming to have spoken. He would have stolen everything just opening his mouth and being like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
covered in bees.
Would have been enough.
Interesting you bring that. Sorry, to go back a topic or two. What P was saying about the 60s Avengers. Sorry to completely shift gears.
Please.
The reason why the female counterparts to John Steed, and I read that I did a lot of research on this because I knew that just talking about the movie was just going to be me screaming and red in the face, veins bulging until I finally like threw up and shat myself. The reason why the female counterparts are such strong presences is because there was at one point in the beginning of the show a male lead named Dr. Keel, I think, or Dr. something or other.
Keel. I looked up some of this too because I was trying to understand what the fuck this show was about, then how they could have gone so far astray in the movie.
Right. And I kind of did the same thing.
Yeah. But go ahead.
But so Dr. Keel was supposed to be the lead, and he was supposed to be assisted by John Steed and female counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that part got removed, so they just kind of gave all his lines to the female, which means that she was going to be a genius and a hand-to-hand martial arts expert. And a scientist, or, you know, very strong-willed, and can hold her own against John Steed. Like, they did that because it just simply saved money and ended up accidentally creating feminist icons. And also fashion icons. Like, you were talking about, Kathleen, you were talking about one of the things that was redeemable about this movie, Uma Thurman's outfits.
All of their outfits. I literally wrote that down. The costumes for this movie, for every character, were really, really good.
Yeah. Like the suits.
Visually, the whole movie was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm not sure if it was shot well. That's to be discussed. Mm. But yeah, it was visually. Even the stupid gummy bear,
the teddy bear.
Yes.
Teddy bear furries. Furry things. They were pretty.
Yeah.
They looked really good.
Yeah.
Weird and a completely little upsetting and out of place.
Apropos of nothing.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's the problem with this whole movie, apropos of nothing. Like, John Steed going into the phone booth in the middle of the storm, like, okay, is this going to lead to something? No. Then he gets out and he gets knocked out by Uma Thurman. That had nothing. That did nothing.
Yeah. It just gave a reason for Connery to say that he can use the weather as a security system.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's...
Yeah.
I'm stupid. I did like a lot of, there were a lot of kind of fun props and set pieces. I liked the giant hamster balls when they were walking across the river.
I did too.
Did it make any sense in the movie? No. But was it cool to be a big plastic ball to like walk
that
through
can
like
walk
that?
Walk on water, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Shit. I wouldn't take
even
a ride in one of those. Like
CG bees, when it attacked the cars, that was a practical effect. I mean,
because
he's ripping pieces and parts out of these robots.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's really good. And they matched, I thought they matched the CG with the mechanical parts pretty well as he's tearing it apart physically, throwing it off of the car. That actually looked like what was just following them.
Yeah.
But the CG was so dated.
You
got to give him a break.
Okay, the bees, the giant inflatable hamster balls, like the hot air balloon escape. Like, why drive away in a car when you can fly away in a slow-moving hot air balloon?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why take a boat when you can take a giant inflatable ball and walk? Like, why shoot somebody when you can attack them with giant robot bees?
Because it's a stupid spy film.
There's no... Yeah. I mean, they're looking to make all the fun gadgets of a Bond film. There was a lot of, I felt like, James Bond rippy-offy kind of thing with this. Like, when the movie first started and all the opening credit scene, I had to stop watching it. I was like, this is gonna make me vomit. It's like watching Millie play Minecraft. Like, all the moving and there's no perspective. It was like, this is terrible.
It looked like it looked like a screensaver from Windows 95.
Yeah, it totally did. But there are some of those Bond films that start out that same way. They're not
trippy.
Bad, and they end up like zeroing down into like, oh, it's the barrel of a gun, and you know, or whatever. It makes sense where these never seem to congeal into a shape. It was just a kaleidoscope on drugs. It was terrible, but...
Yeah. During Bond films, I always kind of wanted the shapes and the swirlies to congeal into the form of a naked lady. And they always did.
They did. Yay!
They always did.
Don't they do that? So,
you
yeah.
You get a nice payoff there, because that's what you want.
Like Goldfinger in my pants.
Oh.
That was gross.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of that. Like, I feel like this movie was like James Bond meets the Mod Squad meets Get Smart. Mm-hmm. And then...
meets as someone who can't write.
Right. And then has the worst... Like,
the
some
dialogue
of that...
is terrible.
It is terrible. It's meant to be banter. And it might have been banter if there was a drop of chemistry between these two characters. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you, like, dug up articles about Uma Thurman and Ralph Fiennes hating each other throughout
that would
the
make
production.
A lot of sense.
It would make a lot of sense.
There was not a single goo-goo eye between them.
Nothing.
It was a job. It was a paycheck, as you said, Dave.
Yeah.
These people showed up for a job and got that shit
it
over
It makes
with.
It feel like it's like this is one of those movies where they were like, you have to do this one if you want to do that little art film that you want to do.
I got you for three pictures. You're going to do this one. Yeah. And you're going to do this one. And then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I think you guys are right. Like, this felt like contractual obligation written all over it.
Oh, yeah.
Although I don't know if that's the case. It just felt like it. I don't know. Maybe like... Uma Thurman had received a ransom letter and they found out that like Ethan Hawke was being held in a basement with a gun to his head. Like, you're going to do this movie or Ethan Hawke's going to have his, like, oh my God, I'll do the Avengers. Just please.
Yeah. I feel like she would have had a little more emotion in the movie if that was what was happening.
No, it was so dry. There was no.
Yeah.
But is that a British thing?
No.
No.
Because
I watch a lot of British
I do
TV.
Too.
Yeah,
a
me too.
Lot of. You know, procedurals and things like that. And there is what we as...
It was mannered.
Yeah, I was going to say, as animalistic Americans would say is dry is really just manners and courteous and
nuance.
Direct and succinct. And that's not any of this.
No, this felt like somebody... If you took every sentence... It felt like somebody took the script, cut out every sentence... on its own little slip of paper, stirred it up in a hat, and then just, here's a scene, and just grabbed a fistful of those sentences and threw it at the actors.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to read those.
Or that every line had been just read to them by somebody just prior.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're going to say, I was talking about the tea. Give me that gun. Like, that's literally what it felt like. The only thing that we're missing is the person looking off camera and then back straight.
Where's the cue card? Oh, and don't talk to me about the tea. I made a mistake.
Yes, let me tell you. So I was, because you watched this last night, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So I went to visit Shannon in her new house.
Oh, very cool.
40 minutes away from where we were.
Yeah.
So it was a very drive.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. I'm jamming out to music, but you're watching the movie. So my music keeps dipping because my phone keeps notifying me that
I'm
you're
so sorry.
Messages.
That was a lot of messages.
It was. I mean, it was fine, but it made me laugh. So there were a few of them that made me laugh a lot, but especially new game, drink every time tea is referenced. Literally not even 40 seconds later. I may have made a horrible mistake making up a new game.
It's true. Oh my gosh.
I got like, because I was driving, I wasn't reading any of these. So last night as we're getting ready to go to bed, I was like, I have 95 notifications on my app here. I was like, God. So I just read them all to Troy, like just in a line, like the way I would have received them. He's dying laughing. So... It was really
we can cover
funny.
The rest later, but that was a poor choice on my behalf.
I thought that was really funny.
I'll never be able to drink tea again.
Because it was like they hit three in a row in like the first 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, this will be fun. And then it turned out not to be very fun at all whatsoever. No.
It could only have improved the movie, though.
You know, it could have just been Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson.
Nope.
Emma Thurman. Sorry.
Emma Thurman.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
No, something about... Oh, yeah.
Uma Thurman,
If the movie had been just like 89 minutes of Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman drinking tea, it would have been better than this.
I would like Ralph Fiennes and Eddie Izzard just to sit there and drink tea.
I would like
and tell stories.
Yes, Eddie Izzard to actually get to say something.
Maybe just Eddie Izzard sitting there drinking tea for 90 minutes.
Yes,
telling stories.
Absolutely.
That would be.
I've got legs. It's one of the best stand up. God, he's the best.
I suspect that this movie was the first big nail in Sean Connery's retirement coffin. Because it was not very many movies after this where he's like, fuck it, I'm done. The last one being The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oof. This happened very quickly, or quick succession.
Well, this
right?
one was 98, and then he did a couple of other movies like Finding Forrester and something else, and then he ended his career on The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Such right. a
he was like, I'm done.
It was,
he must have just needed like that. Like he must have like pulled some money out of his IRA to like pay off some last debt. And then he was just like, all right, I'm just getting some paychecks in to refund that. And then bye.
But I mean, he's happily retired. Done so.
Yeah.
That's fine. But this,
and there's plenty of work that we could reference that we can just pretend these don't exist and still love him for who he is.
Yeah, I know that he reviles this movie in particular. Like, he wishes he had nothing to do with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, I don't believe The Avengers.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, he's barely in it.
Yeah.
No, he's in it quite a bit.
I mean, he's barely in it.
Well, he's he gets screen time, checked out through the same most thing. Of the movie. He's like, where's my line?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if his lines were being read off of, like, a cameraman's chest or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like Marlon Brando in the original Superman. It's like, I'm not memorizing my lines. Where's the cue card, goddammit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he read off cue card. That's right. Like, Uma Thurman, she's just like, I'm working. I'm a working actor. Ralph Fiennes is probably like, probably has a sense of humor about this. He's just like, I made a bomb.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Didn't he say something like, you're not really a true actor if you don't have a legitimate bomb on your resume?
Oh.
Well done. So, yeah.
You check that box.
Yeah. He's the one that's in...
the Hollywood bingo right there. Bomb.
God damn, what's that movie? Where they have like the instant playback that you can relive. Strange Days.
Yeah,
that's one of those movies that people either love or hate.
That's Gus Van Zandt.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, I love it.
I like that we're talking about another movie and not The Avengers.
We're purposely
diverting you to the conversation.
I'm actually thinking about other movies to talk about.
Well, no. But things that happened in that movie might be a surprise. Whereas in The Avengers,
there were a lot of surprises in this movie.
There were some surprises because they were non sequitur.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Non sequitur is not a surprise. Non sequitur is like, what the fuck? Why are there people dressed as giant teddy bears?
Non sequitur.
I got a text like that.
Non sequitur is the nicest way to say, what the fuck?
Yeah. But like, for example, Uma Thurman, she's trying to defuse the machine. Yeah. Oh, there's two wires. Which one do I cut? Wow, that was a fuck you movie.
Yeah.
Or
fuck you movie.
When they shut down the thing at the end, I'm like, I can't believe this thing didn't self-destruct. They talk for a few seconds, and then it's like, self-destruct. Begin. They're like, there it is. I knew it was coming. Every fucking stereotype you could have in a situation was there.
This movie had the very, apart from the fact that it's an absolute turd, you know, actually, if it was recut with all of what was clearly taken out of it, because like there's just a bunch of holes in it, and I looked it up, and apparently like 50 minutes of it has been taken out,
oh,
or something like that.
I don't want to see 50 more minutes of this movie.
It would have made more sense.
I don't know if it would have.
Now, but no, hear me out. Hear me out.
We watched the director's cut of The Swarm, and it didn't. Make
yeah, that this is true. But apparently, I mean, if those holes could have been filled, and there was maybe better performances and better writing, this could have been a complete piece of shit. So. But no, I think one show a night. And I think that this movie, apart from the fact that it's an absolute disgusting, runny piece of shit on the ground, had the bad fortune of also coming out the year after Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Because it came out in 97, this movie came out in 98. Austin Powers, obviously a spoof of the British mod stuff, definitely the Avengers, and James Bond and all that stuff, just spoofing all of it. Like, the beautiful British lady counterpart with the cat suit and who's smart and capable and the implausible villains and all that stuff. It came out before and it was still in its height. People were still quoting it. People were yabbing everywhere. and like, do I make you horny, baby? All that stuff.
I would imagine we still quote Austin Powers in reverence. It's
sure.
A marvelous
Anytime
film.
You talk about any kind of large amount of money, you're going to find somebody who puts the pinky to the corner of the lip.
You know? $100 million,
you know.
This movie, The Avengers, came out after that.
Yeah.
When all that stuff was made to look completely ridiculous.
Right.
The Austin Powers franchise, which also forced James Bond to get gritty and brutal.
Yeah.
And not silly anymore. Like, Daniel Craig has come out and said, like, we can't make the fun Bond movies anymore because of fucking Austin Powers.
Though may I point out that I've watched this yesterday many years and didn't even think about Austin Powers. It still looks fucking ridiculous. It's a...
Well, I mean, even if you shored up all the ridiculousness, it would still be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the M.C. Escher house, though.
Yes.
I thought that was
funny. That was the one genuine laugh I had that I was not expecting.
Oh, yeah. You said I actually laughed out loud.
At the chair? The stairs?
The stairs. That was
what made you laugh out loud?
There was a top-down shot, and it looked like there were stairs going...
Yeah, all the way down.
All the way down. I'm like, okay, we're going to get... Oh, what was that stupid... There was a stupid fucking movie where they followed somebody all the way down. Like, it was a Monty Python thing. I think it was an animated Monty Python thing. I was like, oh you're going to go... You're going to go down every single one, God.
Yeah.
Just padding out the half-hour episode. So I thought, oh, okay, she's going to go down and... Okay, please don't make this a thing where you're going to go down all this stuff because fuck you movie already.
Right.
And she just makes a loop and keeps making a loop because it's painted just right that it looks like it fades into the background or fades into the pit or whatever. And she just keeps in this loop. And that was very funny. That one made me laugh out loud. It was a very, very much an M.C. Escher sort of thing.
So did anybody else have any other movie, like moments that landed for them for this movie? Any at all, like moments, not necessarily like the outfits, which I liked, and I know that you liked.
I think we all like the outfits. The outfits are really good.
I thought the costumes were good.
I wish the dialogue,
I liked the props. One of the things that I thought was clever, even though it didn't make any sense, it was like, oh, the prop department had fun with that. When she first goes to August de Winter's house and they're walking through the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. Of various different climates.
Right.
And he's got those giant magnifying glasses hanging in front of all those different weird
like
orchids or whatever. And there was one scene where he's looking at the orchid talking about how cool it is. And she's behind him and off to the side. But the camera is facing them. So he's enormous in the
magnifying
glass. And then she looks not necessarily tiny. She looks normal size, but it makes her look tiny because of where he's standing. I was like, oh, I bet that was fun in the prop department. So like that kind of was, you know, but I can't begin to tell you what they were talking about or how it connected to the story or where they went from there.
Top Secret did it better with Peter Cushing and the magnifying glass where... puts the magnifying glass away.
He's got a giant eye.
Giant.
Yeah. Okay, all right, funny. So Top Secret did the magnifying glass gag.
That's
better.
Not funny. Cut that out.
No.
Yeah. Well, because
so
like
dumb.
in my
snap.
But in my list of tweets from or texts from Pete, I got, well, it I, made me laugh. There are a lot, but the one that made me laugh the most was, first of all, it was like getting beer number four. Fuck this movie. And then it's LOLOL and you're seeing the M.C. Escher thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like down like, you know, is Eddie Izzard going to have any lines? Shit, this tea game is biting me in the ass. And then it says Connery really whored himself out for this part. Clearly he does not give a shit. Reminds me a lot of Burt Reynolds. Connery is the fucking Scottish Burt Reynolds. LOLOLOLOLOLOLOL. Pause. I'm funny, damn it. And I laughed so hard at that. Like, I was like, I don't know if he's Burt Reynolds. Scottish Burt Reynolds? I don't know. Okay. Like, it really made me laugh hard, which is why I don't read them as they're coming in. I just let them all roll.
Scottish
until
Burt Reynolds.
Scottish Burt Reynolds.
Funny, damn it.
My name is Turd Ferguson.
I can just hear it. It was so funny.
I was text to voice or voice to text.
Yeah.
That was not really,
funny,
but
damn it.
I was about to say, I hope you are, because that meant that you go, LOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOL
Oh, God.
This is why Jody works in the evenings.
Indeed, indeed. And on that, yes, I please. Want to share another beer. I have two more beers to share. I don't know what that means. We'll be back with another beer. Bye.
Hello, this is Rod Barnett, the host of The Bloody Pit, the podcast about eclectic film from across the decade. On The Bloody Pit, we've covered Godzilla movies, Doctor Who movies starring Peter Cushing, The Outer Limits, Fu Manchu, Doc Savage, old radio shows, my favorite movies of all time, a Lucio Fulci film or two, 1970s science fiction movies, and a long series on the films of Italian maestro Antonio Margheriti. So if you're curious to learn a little bit about some of the stranger areas of cult film and television, join me and my rotating group of co-hosts on The Bloody Pit. You might even learn something about Coffin Joe. And that's scary, people. Very scary.
All right, so we have from Kaiju Beer, number two, from Australia.
His name is unpronounceable.
This is good radio. Here, pass that around. Take one down, pass it around. Another Kaiju Beer in their glass.
Is it a porter?
No, this is the Cthulhu on the Moon Black IPA.
Oh, Black IPA. We had one of these in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Black IPA.
Right? No.
That was a Black Lager.
A Black IPA is, I mean, the recipe is take a good IPA, you add a little bit of chocolate or black patent malt, and you make it a
black
cool
IPA.
Color, which will also impart lots of flavors to it.
Again, it's got that really strong, fruity nose.
Does it?
Which I wouldn't expect from a black IPA.
That's a good nose. It's 6.5 ABV, so it's not a big boy beer, but it's a respect. You need to respect it. What it says on the kaijubeer.com, a complex malt bill, yet refreshing beer, delivers layers of roasty flavors,
definitely
coffee
roasty.
And panela. Offset by a hibiscus hop profile.
Hibiscus? Must be an Australian thing.
You read that shit. I'm not sure what panela is. P-A-N-E-L-A.
I don't know. Too much coffee for me.
Well, yeah, that would be...
A herbaceous hop profile.
How maybe. Did I say that? Did I totally...
You totally slaughtered it. I don't know what you said.
Yeah, that's...
Herbaceous?
Herbaceous.
Herbaceous is correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Well...
Panela?
P-A-N-E-L-A.
Coffee and panela.
Is it like... Sugar?
It's like
that's a lot of coffee, Kathleen.
It's a lot of coffee.
Sugar, sometimes.
But that's not unusual.
That's why
for
I took a nice big sip so that I could taste it, and then I poured all the rest of it in Troy's glass.
That's not unusual when you say black something.
But it does have a hop.
P-A-N. Yeah, there's some hot, nice hop to it. Yep.
Yeah, so it's gonna have
usually
coffee and grass in the mouth. So this is
coffee
not
and
a beer
grass.
For me.
It's exactly what we've always wished for, right?
Panela is unrefined whole cane sugar. So I was kind of almost.
Okay, all right. So a molasses of some sort, right?
Yeah, I was thinking like molasses for some reason. I don't know where I would have ever heard
sense.
That word, but yeah, it's unrefined like cane sugar, and
so
apparently it's a
it's
herbaceous
real
cane sugar.
Sugar. So it's like not.
This
like
is, this is very
Mexican
good.
Coke.
I really enjoy
bit,
this. I'm not sure I can enjoy a lot of this. One can of this would be plenty for me for the night.
Yeah,
it is a big, tasty beer. I would like to buy this in a bomber in a 22 and share it with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But this is coming from the guy that likes a big fat porter.
I do, but this is a huge flavorful. The coffee and bitterness in it is.
I wonder if it backs off if it's warmer.
Well, of course it will.
Like this is doing my head in a little bit because looking at it, you would think, okay, like porter, coffee, stout, maybe. And then tasting it, like it's really strong in the coffee. You're right. But it's black IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And like IPA, the IPA part of it is kind of messing with me. Like, I took a whiff and it smelled like grass. And I took another whiff and it smelled like coffee. Not just any coffee either, like an iced coffee, like a light Americano coffee. it's messing with me. I don't know what to make of it.
Maybe because visually you're expecting one thing, and then you're getting that grass in the mouth IPA taste.
As Kathleen said, you're getting three stages here. You're getting a visual, you're getting an aroma, and then you're getting a flavor.
Yeah.
And if they don't all three match up, your head's going to start swimming.
Right.
Yeah.
What was the beer that we had? Was it that David Lee Roth beer last time? That like had a real strong fruit flavor, but or smell.
It was berry and coffee. Or berry and chocolate.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah,
smelled
something.
Smelled coffee. No, it smelled like chocolate.
Yeah.
It smelled like chocolate, but it tasted like Fruity Pebbles a little bit.
Yeah. And really it was a sour clean, it was a clear beer, or not clear, but it was a
pink.
Yeah. It made no sense.
Yeah,
the brain pan was
the
all
same
effed
kind
up.
Of
it was
concept.
Like this movie made no sense.
Oh, are you really going back to the movie, damn it?
But unlike the movie, it was enjoyable.
Had David Lee Roth in the movie.
It would have been a so much better movie.
They probably just wouldn't have given him any lines, just like Eddie.
All they had to do was just like airdrop David Lee Roth into it at any point and just have him going boozy boozy bop, and then immediately 20% more enjoyable.
Right?
20% more enjoyable would have doubled the enjoyment of that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, 2 times 0 is still zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 20 times 0 is still zero.
It's still.
Going back to
there were dumb things about this movie that made me mad. Like the way that.
Such as.
Jim Broadbent smokes. The way that mother
it wasn't like, actually smoking.
It was he couldn't stand cigarettes. Then don't fucking make him smoke, because like it was obviously a real cigarette, and he'd like pretend to smoke it, and it was it made me angry. Like every time I saw him like put anything near his mouth, I was angry about it.
I was more angry at the director for making him do that.
I just have like things that annoy me about this movie. I have no discussion about this movie at all.
Yeah.
Like just
you're on the spot now. So sorry.
He spent a lot of time making all the sighing noises that he did when we went to see the sequel to Independence Day.
Independence Day Resurgence.
Yes.
Why did you watch that?
Oh, I forgot that existed.
Like the previews were, I'm like, wow, that ship is as big as the Earth. I bet you this is going to be kind of fun to watch. No. Oh,
no.
God.
Oh, my God. The movie was terrible, but the most entertaining part of it was literally through the entire movie, Jen and I dying at Troy going,
just the gas, the size.
Because the first one was it might not have been good, but it was
super
entertaining.
Yeah.
Right. Here's another thing. There's two Uma Thurmans. There's two Mrs. Peels. There's her.
Bad Peel.
Yeah. And like, Kathleen had to tell me that there was a cloning thing in this, because I have like, really, there's somebody.
They glossed the hell over that.
Yeah,
and
they
so
did.
Like, why do they clone her? They
why do they clone her? How do they clone her? And why is there a picture of her above Sean Connery when he's playing the organ?
They didn't reference that at all. There's another one solely because they could have like the closed circuit camera showing that she was the actual person that did the first thing. Ooh, what does that mean? Oh, nothing. It's a clone. The laziest thing that we could have possibly have done.
I don't even have any reason to clone her. She had nothing to do with anything.
I can't even be funny this episode because I'm so annoyed. Every once in a while I try to be funny on these things, but fuck this. No, fuck this movie.
He's not making any jokes. He's just going to sigh.
I remember the group text, like, fuck this fucking movie right in this fucking fuckhole.
Yes. Which
that
you
was
don't
a quote.
Usually, that's
yeah,
not
that's
usually
a, quote.
A text you get from Troy.
No. They're usually pretty clean. But that one had a lot of fucks in it. Like, and the use of the word fuck was varied and
appropriate.
Prodigious. Yeah, and appropriate.
Mm. Yeah, he was real mad.
I was just so annoyed. Is there one more beer?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this where it's like, fuck this movie and give it a score.
Okay.
And then we'll have a last beer just to end on something nice.
Well, wait, I have other things to talk about too.
Oh, please go.
Yes,
not
yes.
about the movie.
Do you need to talk about more? Let's rate the movie and move on.
Yes, let's rate the movie, move on, and then
put this to bed. Let's just bury this. We are done. We're going to move on to some fun things.
Yep.
Dave, let us know what's, we're going to do our, what are we doing?
This is your rating
no.
system, Pete.
My rating? Oh, yes. Please. Continue, Dave. Woof.
Folks, we here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a rather unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating. Zero beers means you need no beer to enjoy the movie. You enjoy it as is. It's wonderful. It's perfect. You might have one courtesy beer. A six-beer rating means you need conceivably six beers to tolerate the movie, meaning you have to be shit-faced in order to suffer through it. So, Kathleen, how many beers do you require to tolerate this movie?
Five.
That is lower than I expected.
Well, here's what. I'm going to give it a 5. It's not a full 6 because while the movie is offensive in its concept of it just being so terrible, there's no chemistry, the actors are phoning it in, there's no conceivable story, it makes no goddamn sense, whatever. I'm giving it that one positive beer and not making it a 6 because the costumes are fun. Some of the sets and props and staging are fun. And I watched it on Prime Day, so I just kind of ignored half of it and was shopping on Amazon Prime while I was watching it. So that's always a bonus. And
like looking at Medusa through a mirror.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. So yeah, and Eddie Izzard.
Okay,
I wanted
so
more from Eddie.
I did too. I'm sure Eddie wanted more from
the
whole thing.
He had
the
best line in the entire movie.
And it was looped in ADR.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even see his face say it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You don't even see his face say it.
Did he get the one
arm
fuck
in the way.
In a PG-13 movie?
Yeah. Good.
He's Eddie Izzard.
So.
Cake or death?
Yes.
All right. So 5 for Kathleen. Troy, how many beers do you require to enjoy, tolerate? This movie?
I give it 6 units, Dave.
Wow.
That is
6 units.
That is easily a 6 unit movie. Oh. I would give it 7 if I could. There's something that nothing, proving once again, nothing is bad as a bad 90s movie.
Okay.
That's good talk.
I
you don't even
like,
have nostalgia.
I feel
to
like
fall
my
back
response
on.
To that needs to be challenge accepted.
No, oh, son of a bitch.
Oh,
I mean
boy.
Like there was
now I'm a terrified dude.
So we'll be watching Wild Wild West is what you're saying.
Oh,
no, probably
God.
Not because I've seen
you
that.
You are kicked off the island if we're watching that.
I have actually, unfortunately, I was dating in the 90s, so I saw some of this bullshit stuff on the theater. So that dumb boys made me go to stupid movies.
Boys are stupid.
Boys are
you
stupid.
Saw the,
and now you're watching movies with us.
I know.
It's
boys
so much
are
better,
stupid.
Right?
Yeah, we are boys and dumb.
Boys. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is very true.
You saw them outrunning the explosion on a motorcycle movie.
Yes, I did.
That is a solid full-on inebriation for Troy.
Done, Troy.
6 beers for Troy.
This is one of those movies that I don't even think could have been made better by all of us watching it together.
Uh-uh.
Like, I know we've talked about that in the past, that there have been some that's like, this might have a lower rating if we could have all laughed together about it. But I think we would have all just sat in stunned silence on the couch.
This would have been stunned silence.
Happening.
This would have been the Star Wars Christmas special, stunned silence. Like, everybody's trying to laugh, but we just can't. Yes,
we
I know, I brought it up.
You keep crying a little
you
bit.
You keep trying to poke this bear into
do
picking
not
that movie.
Know.
No. Like, no, let's be clear. The Star Wars Christmas special
it's
was much, much worse. But it would have had the same overall effect. We would have just been like looking at each other awkwardly, trying to laugh at it, and eventually just somebody cracks a beer, and then we all get drunk.
While shopping on Amazon Prime.
Okay, so anyway, that's a full-on 6 for Troy.
Oh, yeah.
Pete, how many beers do you require, conceptually, to enjoy this movie?
This
or
movie,
to tolerate this movie?
This movie is not as bad as The Swarm, so it's a 5.
Again.
Only because it's shorter, right?
One.
Because there's
it's
simply less
much
of it.
Shorter. Two, I actually laughed once or twice. Three, there were some fun practical effects. Four, fuck The Swarm.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I mean, there was a swarm in this.
Yes. A swarm of bees.
5.
That's right.
5
I'm
for
done.
Pete. Okay. Thank you,
Dave,
Peter.
Please tell me. You are responsible for this film.
No,
and
no,
you have done
no.
the 6
I refuse to cop to this.
I mean,
I keep saying, you're the one making the poll. So, like, if I was in charge of making the poll, I would pick 5 movies that I wanted to see with an option of watch none and cancel all this bullshit ever. Like, that would be, like, what my list would
cancel
be.
Cancel the
you
podcast.
Know? Yeah.
And then Kathleen would just, like, refresh the page and hit... That me.
Did you vote in the poll?
Yes.
Oh, see. Did you vote? Oh, yeah, you voted.
Yeah,
for
you voted for.
Crawl.
You voted for Crawl.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you vote for Crawl?
I voted for Crawl.
I also voted for Crawl.
Looks like fucking Amadeus next to this shit, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, Crawl is.
I
fucking
didn't think there were
Kane.
Any more than 5 people that listen to this podcast. So
apparently, they're not 5 people who like us. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's a. You've got to have a serious hate on to vote on this movie for
a
us.
Hate on.
Like, no, like, you've got to have such a dark, just twisted, rotten, twisted, dried up, desiccated soul husk where your heart was.
Yeah.
To foist this upon us. Like, no, seriously, like, I would like to find, I wish I could find, I like, the metrics as to who actually voted for this movie and find all of you and address you individually.
You'll be hearing from our solicitors.
You would receive a very strongly worded letter.
I wonder what Jen voted for. Because we sent her a link when you sent a message early on saying there's a tie.
Yeah.
I sent her a link and I was like, or Troy did. He was like, here, you need to vote because you need to be our tiebreaker. And she sent a message back and it was like, oh, yeah. Saturn 5. And Troy's like, wrong poll.
She goes, no, not Saturn 3, but it says
that
it's
was
closed.
Like two polls ago.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So could somebody text her and ask her what she voted for? Because
you're no longer a super fan.
Now you're just a regular fan.
Yeah. But then she didn't message back, so she actually must have, she either didn't vote or she cast a vote and didn't tell us what it was.
Dave, how many beers?
I wouldn't admit to that either.
For the anger and despair, the roller coaster of hilarious emotions that I had to go through in order to
were they hilarious,
to
really?
Deal with this emotion. Hilarious looking on the outside. On the inside, yeah. Yeah, I'm laughing. I can only laugh. I'm laughing on the outside. On the inside, I'm a leper.
Right. Leper. So you're falling apart.
Yeah. I'm actually going to give it 5 beers.
Jesus.
And it's
Christ
for
me.
Very much the same reason Kathleen said, but mostly, almost entirely, because the first reveal of Uma Thurman wearing that dress, the red dress.
The Chinese dress?
Yes. This is the one time I did this. I stopped and I rewound it. Just so I could see her in it, because she looks amazing in it. Like the cat suits and the blah, blah, I didn't care about that one. That dress, she looked awesome. All the costumes were awesome. And for that alone, just to stare at Uma Thurman looking the way she does in this movie took the beer.
A whole beer off.
I really thought about it. I really did. I was like, does this save the movie? No. But it made me enjoy one thing about it, which means I can't give it a 6. So 5 for me. 5 beers.
You are sick. The fact that you did not just drain that 6-pack.
You didn't even drink while we were watching the movie.
What?
Oh.
Actually, I did.
I was literally only paying attention
full
to
full
Amazon.
Full disclosure,
Prime
I had
point.
4, and I was really like, I can't do
you
it
had
anymore.
4 strong ones based on you the text yeah, that yeah, I yeah, got. Yeah.
You had 4 and did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
So the 5th beer was obviously needed, and I would argue the 6th
4,
beer.
But I had to go to work the next day.
So, all yes. Right. So, anyway, we have Kathleen 5, Troy 6, Pete 5, me 5. Me 5. I heard somebody mention a third beer. Can we please get to the third beer now?
We can. Shall we take a quick break? And
yeah.
I'll go grab it, okay?
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Okay, here we go. And.
All right.
Get it, Dave. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That's the one I may have smashed a little bit. For our final kaiju beer from Australia selection this evening, we are having the Aftermath Double IPA.
That's a fun can.
It is a
All
fun
of these
can.
Cans are incredible.
Listener, I cannot tell you how much fun this artwork is. It is a ball to see what these folks do. And as now, someone who has had their beers, thrilled.
I know. I feel so fancy.
Really? This is
I feel
this,
so cultured.
This is good stuff. Even though we can get some very good things in town. This is not
sure.
beating. This is not throwing anybody
gapless.
Out the door. I love the stuff from North High. I love this store from Seventh Son. I love all of our local breweries. But when you get something from literally the other side of the globe,
yeah.
this is a lot of
both
fun.
Left, right, and north,
and
south.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's not me and my bathtub beer.
Yeah, I mean, this is from...
Wow, I may not be able to taste another one of your beers again without thinking about that.
Bathtub?
Pete in the bathtub beer.
Oh.
Every batch of beer I make
has
gets
a little bit of me
in it.
Oh, a little Pete funk.
So this is the Aftermath Double IPA. Now, I was told not to ever bring 2 9% beers into the fold. And this is only 1 9% beer into the fold.
9.1.
A 9.1% ABV.
A ludicrously hopped American-style double IPA with enough malt backbone to smooth out the assertive bitterness. No IBU statement. And on the side of the can, it says, a powerful yet particularly well-groomed fiend.
Fiend?
Yes.
Nice.
My beer is a fiend. The diatomatic Hobzilla wreaked havoc up and down the major coastal tourist attractions. Moments after its demise, our heroes tapped the bitter mystery fueling its fury. It smells like bananas.
It smells like bananas, and it's very burnt grass. It feels like it's got some of that roast.
I know what you're talking about. It's like a malty, sweet kind of...
It's got a lot of caramel to it. Is that what I'm tasting?
Yeah, there's a sweetness in there.
Well, your banana has a sweetness.
Your banana has a sweetness.
Yes, it does.
I'll thank you not to ask about his banana.
I didn't ask.
Shit.
So that's like caramelized banana.
Yeah, I.
So this is a Bananas Alaska sort of.
Yeah.
Bananas drink. Alaska. Yes.
I see your banana, and I raise you a cooked banana.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's been a little overcooked, maybe. I'm not a fan of this one.
No.
No.
It is a 9% beer. It is not for everyone.
And I'm not usually a double IPA person either.
If we had the IBUs, we could. Geary it.
Right.
But we don't.
No.
We could dive into it. Had I been a good podcaster, I would have dove into it and gotten the backstory. But I got home from work yesterday, I received these.
Right. They were waiting on your kitchen counter.
Indeed.
Okay, so I'm reading this here on ratebeer.com. It's got the 9.1 ABV and 140 IBU.
Okay, so that's a little outside the Geary.
Yeah.
140, doesn't that seem a little excessive?
I am not getting 140 on this one. If I had 140...
It just literally would be the grass Dave just mowed.
Because I get a lot of malt in this as well. So I would say like the ABV should be like 10 or 11% to balance out the... 20?
40.
40.
114.
Oh, 14.
140. 140, yeah, you're right.
Was it 140 or 114?
I think it's 140.
I think you're right, 140.
Yeah, which is, like, didn't we discuss this? Like, IBUs past a certain point are simply undetectable by...
And IBUs as a general is, a lot of brewers are calling fallacies with, it's not a good phallic
phrase.
Dicks.
It's not a good, right. Damn it.
It's
maybe
not
we should have stopped at
not,
two beers.
I feel like IBUs is something that's not an exact science in measurement. Yeah.
Thank you. That's,
no matter
that's
how
exactly what I was attempting
low
to say.
Or high, which I think is why that kind of general statement of once you cross a certain number,
right,
then it's stop counting because right. it doesn't change anything. But I don't know what that number is. So
yeah, I mean, it could be like a bajillion or whatever, and
right,
we wouldn't know.
It could be seven.
This beer is not screwing around, though.
No, it's very strong.
It is a strong beer.
It is
beer. When you drink a beer with a lot of alcohol in it, you will get a hot hotness on your tongue. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
hot
have
hotness.
That
hot tongue.
Hot hotness. Hot right. Tongue hotness.
This is not
it's
good.
Astringent.
This is bad podcasting. This is clearly drunk podcasting.
This
so
is why we normally only do two beers.
Why don't we move along? Kathleen, you had something to share with us, and I need to shut the hell up.
Yes. So I was talking to somebody about podcasts, and they were like, oh yeah, I really like podcasts. Da, da, da. And I was, you know, we were talking about different ones or whatever, and the person I was talking to was actually kind of complaining about how one of the podcasts that she was listening to was like begging for reviews and ratings and whatever. And so I was obviously the person I was talking to is a bit of a podcast noob. And I was like, well, here's the thing. In order to show up to the game, to be on lists where people can find you, to you search a topic of something that you're interested in, seeing if there's a podcast out there, you know, that covers that topic, whether it's bad movies or beer or true crime or pinball or, you know, kaiju or whatever, you know, the more a podcast has ratings and reviews, the more likely it is to show up on the list. It's the, you know, Google algorithm of it all. even though it's not on Google. But Apple seems to be the place where the power is held when it comes to this. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are not Apple product users and are fearful of, so they don't have iTunes accounts and they're fearful of getting onto iTunes because iTunes has a very notable history of grabbing a hold of things and overpowering before you can, you know, say no, get out of my computer kind of thing. I can't say one way or the other if it's still like that or not, as I have Apple products, so it's doing that because it's supposed to. At any rate, so
it's Apple.
It gave me, I know. Well, at least it's not banana. Orange, you glad I didn't say banana, Troy? Millie loves that joke, and she and I can.
It's a great joke.
5-10 solid minutes just. Knock, knock, who's there? Knock, knock, who's there? Yes, yes. And of course, she's laughing the whole time because this is the response that he's giving while we're doing it. So, yeah, but I digress. So, it inspired me. Yeah, shut up. It inspired me to maybe inspire our listeners to give us some ratings and reviews. For a long time, the only rating that we had was from our pal, Christopher Page.
Our buddy who was on a podcast or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And even then, his review is at least a year old, maybe more.
It was right away, yep.
Yeah. And when I looked at it today, we have a few more. So,
what? Really?
Yes, we have some. We have.
You're in charge of that. So.
We have a few folks who have just left us star ratings. Got Christopher and then someone else, Dan. I don't know. I don't want to slaughter his
Basil?
Last name. Yes.
Basil?
Something to that effect.
Yeah.
Basil left
my Harry Potter one.
Yes, Tiny Chef. It's a whole other thing. Left not just a star rating, but an actual. What did you call it earlier, Dave?
A testimonial?
Testimonial, thank you. I was trying really hard not to say tribute. I have also had a lot of beer today. So
I love your podcast. I give you tribute.
Yeah. I volunteer as tribute. So,
I just freaking.
The cast is good and drunk tonight.
Yes, right. We are. To inspire others to go into iTunes, especially if you are an Apple user. If you are an Apple user and you love us, there is no excuse. But if you're not, I understand the trepidation. But in order to inspire, I have made Good Beer, Bad Movie Night stickers.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Really? Where? This is amazing radio.
I will tweet out a picture of them.
Ooh. Oh, stop that.
She hasn't put them out yet. I'm sorry.
No, sure. So it's a picture, if you will, a frosty beer mug that
has look at that.
The title of the podcast on it or whatever. It's very simplistic.
Dave's taking a picture.
But
yeah.
I made several different colors. I started with orange because that's Pete's favorite color. So.
Well, yeah.
I didn't know that. Duh.
So I have black, I have orange, I have pink, I have green, I have blue. But if you make a review, if you rate and review us on iTunes, and then you have to shoot an email to us as well. So it is a two-step process for you.
So do they have to write a testimonial?
You can just put stars. So you need to rate, you need to review, but then I need to know who you are. So our old pal Dave here is going to put something on the website so that you can fill out a little bit of information so that I know where I'm sending your sticker. I'll tweet out a picture of it so that you can see what it is that your efforts will give us. And then I can't wait for those ratings to start rolling in. So.
Good ratings, preferably.
Yes.
But, I mean,
so far we're all 5-star. And if you are one of the folks who's already left a star rating, obviously I don't know who you are, but fill out the form on the
website.
It's the honor system. I believe you. And I'll send you a sticker. That's
Christopher
fine.
Page. You deserve a sticker.
Yes. And Dan.
Dan Beasel, you deserve a sticker.
Yes.
Because I got a cool bumper sticker from him, too.
Yeah.
At G-Fest. Yeah, very cool.
Nice. Ooh. So cool. Yes. I will set up a form. Go to the website. You can put your name, email, address, and we'll mail you the sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise we will not use your information for evil, only for good. You will not sell it or solicit or anything.
Nope. All you're going to do is get a cute little sticker in the mail.
Yep.
But evil would be fun.
Nope.
Damn it.
I mean, I might show up at your house with a boombox over my head playing In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
He'll bring his copy of The Swarm. You guys can watch it together.
All right, gang.
That is evil.
If Dave shows up at anyone's house unexpectedly, you just need to hold up your copy of the Star Wars Christmas and he'll run away screaming.
It's like holding up a cross to a vampire, right?
Right, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Exactly.
So are we good, guys? Please tell me we're done with this film.
I'm done. Oh, I was done with this movie before the last beer.
No,
I don't want to
spend any more time on
that. Next month, we are, it's a birthday month next month.
That's right.
No way.
It is.
Uh-uh.
It's my birthday.
Quit lying.
But it's actually Kathleen's birthday, too. And she's going to pick the movie. Do you have a film picked out?
Nope. No.
Then it is your job to let everybody know what they can watch.
I will. I've been trying to decide what I want to do.
Yeah.
Have you been leaning in a direction at all?
I was trying to think of something different than something that we've done.
So you want to do a luchador film?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Or an animated film.
No. Right. Animated was something that I had thought about.
Godzilla film.
No.
Damn it.
Oh, those are all. If you want to do one of those, then you can do a September birthday month movie. Animated was something that I had thought about.
I might do an animated one for my birthday, which is the month afterwards.
Well, my birthday comes first, so I might pick it first. I was also thinking about like
musicals.
Musicals not a bad idea.
It is your birthday month, so you may pick whatever the heck you want.
You could do your favorite musical, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
It's just fun to let everybody know in advance.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. Be able to watch it.
Yes. Once I make a decision, I will put it out there on the Facebooks and the Twitters and whatnot. So
you know what? At this point, you can't even hurt me. I've seen the Avengers. It's like, I feel like everything is gold after this.
I feel like you said that after The Swarm, and yet here you are.
It's true. You could always make it worse, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen the Star Wars
Christmas special. Swarm is the standard. Swarm is the six-beer standard. That movie was so bad.
Oh, it was.
Still, like, the Star Wars Christmas special is worse. It is worse.
Yeah.
We haven't reviewed it, and we're not going to.
They're just tempting me into making them watch it for my birthday by saying that.
This podcast might end if you make us watch that shit again.
I'm not going to make you watch it.
Okay, thank you.
Because then you have to watch it. Then you have to watch it.
Right, but I feel about all of these movies the same.
No, you have no idea. If you've not seen the Star Wars special.
I have not seen it.
No, seriously. Like, all joking aside.
You don't.
Our friendship cannot take that kind of strain.
It's like, him
ha ha, you laugh. I'm not fucking joking.
All right. Don't worry. Don't worry.
So Kathleen's going to post some fun stuff on the website and the Facebook page. And until then.
Herbaceous.
Then it's just weird poops all day. You'll think you'll have to go to the hospital. Yeah, because like beets, they're red and they color your poop red.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes tint the water red. So you're like, I need medical attention immediately. I hate this movie. I'm Uma Thurman doing a terrible English accent as I'm appealed.
Come on, you. Come on, you.
You're welcome, Dave.
Are you also going to smuggle beer in your ass?
I couldn't do the.
It went off. Sorry.
Every time.
That'll happen more and more as you get older.
The Joel Schumacher Batmans.
Batman's.
Is it like a De Palma movie where there's like weird body horror? Maybe not body horror.
Are you talking about Cronenberg?
I'm getting mixed up. Oh, I'm such a bad. I'm so terrible.
Too many stairs!
We'll cut that out.
Good night.
That was a nice little dance you just did.
I know. I just danced. Yeah, oh. Snap.
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 Snap. Snap.
Snap.
Snap. Stop that. I don't know how much I like that or not. Hang on. Thank you. From Connery. Herbescus.
Whatever you said, I couldn't even guess that you were trying to say herbaceous.
I am done reading tonight.
What is?
And you can be part of a very exclusive club. Yes. Shh. And put herbaceous. And put it.
I don't hear words. It's an
panel and an A at the end.
Oh, like the feminized version of panel?
Yeah. And like kind of like just like kind of like,
you know, you, look, ow. Let's just wrap this up.
You just hit yourself?
What just happened?
I don't know. Kathleen, you go first.
No, I have to describe what the six-pack rating,
is.
Fuck. What are we doing? We're doing a rating.
The six-pack rating,
I've had a few beers. He got the fuck.
Well, and isn't your favorite movie Twister made in the
90s? Oh, fuck that. That's so bad.
I could use another gross of permanent markers. Okay, remember to wash your fluffy paws.
This is not the movie with America's ass.
No.
A ludicrously... Oh, God, help me. Dave, read that, because I sound like an idiot. Ludicrously.
I lost my entire train of thought.
Something about
iTunes.
iTunes
snuck into my brain and just reprogrammed everything.
It was in the spirit of scientific inquiry.
That's... You farted.
I did.
You did, in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I did, because the fart is not cool. Good luck.
Oh,
good luck,
fuck, I'm going to edit this.
Yeah.
Oh, my butt. Fuck my butt. All up in my butt.
I feel like Dave's never going to make another poll.
Make your poll.
Oh,
that doesn't even make any sense.
Nope.
Darby, O'Gill, and the fucking little people. Seriously.
You know, next time I have asparagus, I'll invite you into the John with me.
It's really okay.
Maybe. I don't, the one time in my life I've ever been in handcuffs was after a bourbon binge. So.
Right.
Troy is a pest.
Nice.
I can't go back to jail.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I can't go back to jail. You say tomato, I say fuck you.
Yeah.
This is true.